We are recording. This is one of the few General Banter podcasts where I have taken on a Zoom guest, Aaron, so you're very fucking welcome.
Nice. I'm fucking honored.
I mean, if I can't get the quality out of it that I want, I'm straight on to Jamie Dornan, the way Shane was. unless you want to start stripping live on fucking... So here we are, and my guest today, Aaron McCann. Do you have a fucking Stop the World neon light yet?
No, here, that, very swag. Big fan of it. I enjoy it.
You actually said that, like, that actual fucking Asian dude that's like, very cool, very swag.
I like it.
Very cool, very swag.
Neon lights, it is name of podcast. I like it.
I like. I mean, listen, you can pay big money for neon lights, or you can get one from China covered in COVID, and it's not that dear at all.
It's very, very nice.
If you're willing to wait fucking, you know, a bunch of weeks, yeah, you can get the fucking COVID-covered one. Batshit all over it, no? It's class.
How does it even work? You just send them, like, a picture of what you're after, and then They're like, right, we'll get to work here and get some wee lad at a sweatshop to work at it?
Yeah, basically, I sent, like, a logo, and then they can't do it exactly the way you want, because obviously it's like fucking tubes, but You know, after a wee while, they do like a template and send it back, and they're like, is that okay for you, Mr. Garris? And you're like, No problem, bro. And he's like, that's £7. And then he goes and buys a yacht in fucking wherever the fuck he's from.
At one side, he's got him fucking pho for about 7 months.
Exactly. No more fucking rat soup for that cunt. Stepped it up to the chickens. What was I going to say to you? How's lockdown treating you? It's weird to be mates with somebody who is essentially on the night shift.
Mm-hmm. But for absolutely no, like, not an impressive purpose, or like not to help anybody or better anybody or even myself. It's just I've developed insomnia for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, like, it is weird that, you know, like, in regular life, me and you have a WhatsApp top 12 Bebo type style thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know 12 people, but I've got like about 3 or 4 people who I'll communicate with regularly every day. You used to be one of them until the night stole you away from me.
I went to bed last night at fucking 7 o'clock.
Is that not doing anything to your fucking mental health?
No, man, I'm sitting watching the fucking Last Dance. It's actually improved me drastically. I came leaps and bounds, to be honest.
I'll be honest. Like, see if... it is a weird thing. Like, if you're in a long-term relationship or any relationship, you kind of have... You know, you kind of like are like, right, okay, you know, it's bedtime. We'll both go to bed. Not in any... You know, no one's riding the bed out, but you know what I mean? You're just like, right, let's both go to bed, because I'm, you know, you're not going to go to bed and I'm going to sit up for another 7 hours.
Yeah.
But if I'm ever left on my own in a fucking hotel or something, I'll do the same. I revert right back to, like, you're a single guy with nothing else to do and you're, like, looking at cars at fucking 10 to 5 in the morning.
Swear to God, and the fucking wormholes, I'd be dying. Like, I haven't fucking red-pilled myself or anything, But I've just been sitting on weird YouTube fucking those rabbit holes where you're like, why am I watching the cooking show here? I don't even know how to cook.
Oh, fuck, I'm gonna do something real stupid with a watch one of these days. Like, my camera roll is just a lot of fucking high-end watches, and one of these days I'm gonna be like, whoops!
Just buy a Rolex.
No food for the... You see, this is what I've learned, Aaron. You wouldn't give a Rolex to a fucking child.
Oh, you have been digging.
You know? I've learned that now. The more I look into it, I'm like, getting a Rolex is like, you know, getting a fucking... like a BMW. You know what I mean? It's like, it's nice. It's really nice. But you want to go real deep. You know, things get silly.
Casio
G-Shock player.
Yeah, so 40 quid Argus. Here, it's not about the watch, it's about the man flexing. That's what my dad said.
Oh. Yeah, you got to wear the watch, you know what I mean? The watch can't wear you.
Yeah.
fucking, I love it. Did your dad, what watch does your dad rock?
Oh, fuck knows. That hangs from the 1800s.
You never know. It might be fucking worth a bit of money.
See, that's the thing. If you're with a guy that knows anything about watches, like a wee subtle watch that your old boy wears, you don't think nothing off. It could be fucking, God knows, Gucci.
Yeah. Again, Gucci, you wouldn't fucking, you know, you wouldn't wipe shit off your shoe with.
I love how you're just tearing apart luxury bands like Versace. Wouldn't give you the one that may fart for it.
Versace, for fuck's sake, fuck.
Louis Vuitton, Louis the fuck off, would you?
Do you reckon your dad's like, it's not the watch, it's the man that's flexing it, and then he just has a watch drawn on with a biro on his arm?
Is that the watch, it's the man that's flexing it, that's the fucking one he got out of a Happy Meal?
Oh, fuck. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's not the watch, it's the man that's flexing it, and it's one of them Casio ones that changes the TV. It's like, you're laughing, but I can change the fucking TV from the bog, so suck my dick.
I was telling you about my mate, wasn't it, that like was a fucking chef straight out of school, and just kind of got a lot of money very quickly, and then one day he was like, I'm going to buy a Rolex.
Mm-hmm.
And like this man still living with his parents, like.
I mean, I understand that a watch like that can be an investment, and there's ways and means to like track the value of a watch. And a lot of Rolexes, if you buy the right one, appreciate in value very, very quickly. But move out, like.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Don't be like holding the coffee cup and taking the shot of the watch, and in the background your ma's doing her nails.
Yeah. Asking your ma, where the fuck did she leave the Rolex?
Ma, have you washed my fucking Rolex again? For fuck's sake.
She threw in your jeans and fucking something on them. My ma did that, actually. She fucking wrecked a pair of Apple headphones because she threw my jeans in the washing machine. Fuck them.
I don't think I ever... As soon as I could fucking walk when I was younger, I was doing my own washing. That was like the deal in our house was you had your own fucking, you know, little basket with all your shit in it and you washed your own stuff.
I mean, that explains, that's just a hint of the vast differences between us. Do you know what I mean?
It's one of them.
It's like a childhood.
It's one of them. Says the man with a bunk bed in the background.
I'm still getting my hole wiped.
That'll be some task, Jesus Christ. You're the white Lizzo.
It's either that or dry my hair. Over a fucking handling.
Yeah. Your ma's renting fucking, you know, blow, like, space heaters. That they have in the fucking Odyssey Arena to put a bit of heat in it. Just to give you a fucking blow dry. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, fucking hell.
That's what you should do during the lockdown is, like, get a perm and just come out the other end with like fucking Bret Hart hair. Just fucking like.
I thought you were about to say domesticate yourself, but I get a fucking perm.
How did you make use of the lockdown? Did you do any classes? You know, did you improve yourself? Did you work on a hobby and you're just standing there glistening with a fucking perm? Nah, bitch.
I don't know about you. I had, I would say, 2 weeks of real good productivity and then it was like I sprinted and just went, right. This is me now until the end, just watching the old WWE matches.
I think I've literally just changed the view there on the recording, so that was probably just mainly your face for a long time there. oh yeah, like everybody started hot. Everybody was like, I'm losing weight, I'm fucking getting fit and everything. And then like about 3 weeks in, people were like, listen, I hope the lockdown never ends. You know, I'm eating fucking chicken fried rice for my breakfast. I don't give a fuck anymore.
I would say adjusted at this stage.
Yeah.
Could be like, you know, your man in fucking, what is it, Shawshank, when he gets out of prison.
Yeah.
And goes back to the real world, tops himself.
Yeah. You don't know what the fuck. Honestly, like, I did a Patreon podcast on a Sunday where I just answer questions. I don't normally answer questions on the regular podcast anymore, but someone asked me, do you think there'll be like an adjustment period for people when you go back to normal? Like, will people be able to speak to each other in person?
No way.
No.
Not exactly smooth sailing. My sister came around the other week and I could barely fucking look at her.
Really?
Couldn't even look her in the face. I stared at the concrete and then I started like, it was like peep show. I was like thinking about where I was putting my hands and all. And I was like, why the fuck am I like this?
That's so weird. Yeah, like we it was Begley's birthday the other day and we haven't seen Begley in fucking 2 months or something. And we were like, he's been locked away, we've been locked away, and we're like, let's have a small gathering where like we have some social distance, cups of coffee and a bun. And we got together sitting outside, had we coffee and everything. But like you get excited, you're like, oh fuck, I'm gonna see Begley or whatever, and then you see the other person and you're like, well, because it hasn't been that long a time, but it's just been this weird, like, you're like, hey, how's it going?
Oh yeah.
What now? Type thing.
What do you like, weirdly, like, what do you think is going to be like the collective like mood amongst everyone whenever this lifts? Do you think people will go mental for a month and then there'll be like almost like a collective depression because people have like romanticized normal life? Or do you think it's going to be people will just be fucking like getting after shit straight away and
I think
appreciation?
I think it'll be it'll be patchy because it'll be, do you remember like the lockdown first happened and people were kind of ignoring it and then people were taking it very seriously? I think when it comes back, people will be like, right, they just had some sort of green light and they're like, fuck it, I'm back to normal, we're out in the piss. And other people will be like, all right, I think there'll be a bit of tension still because people will be like, okay, don't go that fucking mad straight away. Because people are still having to kind of hide out and lock down. So I think there's going to be a bit of weirdness for a while. I think there might be, I don't think it's going to be the immediate, like, you know, there isn't going to be like one day they go, right, it's all good. And fucking the comedy clubs are back on and gigs are back on and people are touring again. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be like, okay, you're allowed out in public. And then there's going to be this phase in bit where they're like, okay, you can do a gig, but there has to be 2 seats in between everybody.
Yeah.
Which I'm refusing to do. I don't think I'll not do anything till you can do it properly, I don't think.
Yeah, no, fuck that.
Because it'd just be fucking weird. Somebody suggested to me, like, did I tell you this? They wanted to do something in, like, the Ulster Hall for, like, a really high premium price ticket. Like, fucking 200 quid, 300 quid. For, like, 100 people in the Ulster Hall all spaced out. A comedy gig.
That sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Like, can you imagine? Like, that's like a dream that I would have and wake up sweating and be like, oh my God, I just dreamt that I was doing a gig in front of 100 people in a 1,000-seater venue.
I mean, half the reason stand-up works is because everyone's so fucking close to each other.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a group psychology type fucking weirdness to it.
The laughter is infectious, but I would say, like, people are going to fucking have like social anxiety, like going from seeing like nobody to say you worked in like a really busy fucking office floor or something. There's like 200 people in all their cubicles. Like, imagine going back into work and all the noise and the lights, and you'd be like, you'd be freaking the fuck out. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Someone's like, oh, do you want a fucking cup of tea? And you'd be like, what do you mean, cup of tea?
Yeah. Yeah,
you're fucking sure. Maureen's sister's fiance, you know who he is. I don't want to say a pile of names on this, but he was like, oh, you know, he's high risk with asthma or whatever, and he was at home, and he's like, you know, they were coming down the road, and they're like, can we speak to these ones? You know, have they been working? He goes, no, I haven't been out of the house for 5 weeks, and we're like, all right, okay, you know, expecting someone to be like, yeah, I went for the odd walk or I had to go to the shop, and he was like, no, I literally didn't step over the front door for 5 full weeks. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
That cunt's going to be fucking mental.
But that's, you know, we're going back to like people adjusting the shit. You know, he's just like, oh, we're in lockdown? No fucking duh. I'll just sit here. I'll just sit here and fucking watch cartoons all day.
I've been on a fucking, during the week I'm on lockdown, and then Saturday to Sunday I'm on fucking lockdown. I just don't stop drinking.
I haven't really, well, obviously, because we have a fucking baby, you can have a couple of drinks, like, but you can't, at least one of you has to be essentially fully sober.
You're a better man for it.
And that's usually morning. And, like, there was one night where I got fucking trashed, like, because I think it was, you know, one of them ones where it was, like, brewing, and I felt like everybody needed it.
Yeah.
And we all sat out around the fire and social distanced a wee bit. Your eyebrow got on the table. I just got fucking ball bagged. Like, I was drinking vodka and orange and all sorts of weird shit that I never drink.
Yeah, it's fun though, those days where you're like, you just like fucking, I like experimenting sometimes with like really random drinks that you're like, I'll not drink this for another 12 years, but it's very tasty in the moment. Mm-hmm. Like that night that we drank, I drank fucking Captain Morgan's and pineapple yet. And oh, Isaac, wow. This is the type of drink you can't have again for a decade, otherwise you will get diabetes.
Yeah, that can't be your drink, like.
Nah.
I know someone and his girlfriend drinks, you know him too. Once again, I don't want to throw everyone's business out there. She drinks Sambuca and Coke.
That's fucking...
And I was like, you gotta be looking attention at that point.
Yeah, how do you even like get around to the point where you're consuming that?
I don't know.
It's like something you would have in, you know, like Game Kings, where it's like they've got a dirty paint. Fucked all the alcohol in it.
Yeah, you have it on your fucking birthday when you're in uni, and then you fucking boke, and then all your mates go out, and you stay in.
Exactly what happened in my 18th.
Yeah.
Literally exactly what happened. I got the fucking dirty paint. I had two dirty paints, and then just immediately went to bed, and then all my mates went out with me and took pictures and all in the nightclub.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Here's a weird story. I went out, it was this guy's birthday when we'd just left school, and everyone was like, right, come on up to the house, his family house, like, and his ma made loads of food and everything, and all his mates were there, and we drank at his house plenty before, like, but they were like, right, let's come on up. And it was one of those ones, you know, where you're like, it's Thursday and you kind of have shit to do, and you're like, I'll go, you know, I could do without it because I'm working or whatever, but I'll fucking go. Here we go. And we got to his house, and his mom put all his food out and everything, and he had a couple of things, and then the guy got, like, violently ill.
Oh, fuck.
Like, literally, like, just, I don't know, you know one of them ones where he just is like, and fucking ran to the toilet, and, like, everyone was, like, in his house, so, like, you sort of came out of the kitchen, and the first door was the door to the toilet. And he didn't even get the door shut. He was just fucking... And everybody's standing there with their pints and all, like, is he okay? And he's fucking... Burr! Like, violently ill.
Yeah.
And he turned around. He was fucking ghost white. Like, and he's like, I'll try and see if I can take another couple of drinks. And his mom was like, no, you won't. Like, you've got, like, a stomach bug or something. And he ended up going, like, yeah, I don't think I can go out, lads. And, like, everybody just went, thank fuck for that. Everybody was like, don't you worry, that's no, and he's like, nah, you just go on out and have a good time and all. And I was like, I will, surely. Fucking went home immediately, like, after about four beers. I was like, thank fuck for that.
Turns out you fucking spiked his food.
That was the thing, everybody had been eating all this food, and everyone was like, I don't think you, like, you would get ill from food, like food poisoning, that quickly. I think it's got to be in your system for like 24 hours or something, but
I can only imagine what his fucking book looked like, that Iceland party mix buffet style.
Yeah, fucking prawn rings and a full mini quiche came up.
Perfect form.
Did you even chew that, bro? I swear to God, I've been sick after like nights out with, and there's been like full chips in it. Like unchewed chips.
Right. See, it is what we've devoted here on the boke stories. I remember...
I wish I had a sting for this, you know? It was... Welcome back to books, boke stories.
It was the first time I never went away for like a judo competition. This was whenever I was in fucking 22 stone. And we went to this like competition in Dublin. And I remember that night, the fella Mickey Sharkey again, I'm giving out names here. So, fella Mickey Sharkey got his black belt that day. So he was on the fucking rips.
That sounds like that sounds like a Christy Moore song.
Mickey Sharkey's black belt.
Mickey Sharkey got his black belt. Well, Mickey Sharkey got his black belt.
So we were fucking, I remember it was like, you were young enough that you had no real experience drinking. I remember watching him and he just never stopped drinking Southern Comfort. And before we went to the place to drink, he did a complete reverse order. He got a kebab, right? And then was pounding drinks and then went to the hotel. I've never seen nothing like this. This is like fucking Ripley's, believe it or not. He went into the fucking toilets in the hotel. And I went on as well because I had to pish. And I swear to God, he literally was like for a bit, there was like a 5-minute brew period where he was like. And then I swear to God, the full fucking kebab and tack came out of him. Like full strips of Donner just kept coming out of the cunt. And I was like, oh, fucking hell, this cunt's going for an exorcism.
Was it like one of the ticket machines, you know, when you win something in the Odyssey and it's just. When you win a fucking, you know, that basketball machine, you just which you don't realize when you're an adult, you can just take the ball and set it through the hip. Oh my god, I've seen a guy like, I was in Belfast somewhere, but he like threw up and it was literally like chicken curry, and then the next one was chips, and then the next one was rice.
Oh, free courser.
Full half and half come up.
Fucking Pavlova after it. Jane Coffin.
Just all the rest of the day. Frosties. Toasty. Oh, fucking disgusting. You haven't been that drunk, but you barfed at home like Mickey. Mickey told me he did that.
Oh, fuck. That's rock bottom. Like.
Oh, fucking. He lives on the rocks, that boy. Like, do you ever see him, like, Jesus. He's like, oh, I'm making some cocktails, and you look at your watch, and you're like, right, that's 4 o'clock, and then he will do stories on his Instagram for the next 13 hours, and you're like, and then he's like, oh my god, I was sick yesterday, and you're like, was it the 13 hours of drinking, bro?
Never to the evidence, Mike.
Yeah, may I point you in the direction of your own Instagram story?
I'd be shaking your head if you were, though.
Unbelievable. No, I got fucking trashed once during this whole thing. Although I did find two unused weed cartridges for the vape the other day.
Oh, you dirty bastard.
Which is, it's great. So stealth, you know what I mean? Just.
See, I would much rather prefer that. Yeah, instead of like, every Saturday night, I'm just like, either I had to cut out the pink gin, by the way, that was becoming an issue. I was like, we have to nip this one in the fucking bud. It's just like, I was just like, it was 3 weeks in a row, and I was like, how many weeks in a row can I drink a full bottle of pink gin? Like, and I was like, I will come out of this lockdown with fucking cirrhosis. So,
see, you're the type of guy, like, you were talking about the Captain Morgan's and Pineapple 8. That's what you do. You take a drink and then you fucking scumbag it with some other shitty drink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you were drinking that pink gin, I was like, oh, I was imagining you're having the big fucking, the big bowl of gin with the fruit and all in it. I'm like, what are you drinking it with? Some Fever Tree tonic? And you're like, nah, Sprite.
7 Up, lad.
I know. You're the only cunt to be like, I bought a fucking, like, typical, another fucking reference in London. You're like, I bought a fucking 60 pound bottle of Grey Goose or something. And they're like, what are you mixing it with? He's like, just a lukewarm bottle of fucking flat coke that I found in a bag from the last trip I went on. Fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
What have you got there? A bottle of Belvedere vodka. What are you mixing with? A tip top? Lovely.
So nice wee fucking Crystal Skull vodka with a Capri Sun.
Right. Listen, I have a bottle of Ace of Spades champagne here, but I thought I'd dump a bit of my wari into it for a bit of zing.
I was about to say that.
Here, do you remember Five Alives?
Oh, why? The business?
I remember that the other day. I was like, they were the fucking absolute gear, those.
The cure, too, if you were sick in fucking school. whack about four of them and you're ready as rain for the next day.
I love that shit. What have you got? Leukemia? Here's a summer fruits five alive.
My ma used to treat five alive like they were cures. Do you know what I mean?
All the cures that like Irish ma's give you would be a cure if you were like they found you in the desert after 40 days. Do you know what I mean? Like a Lucozade would probably do you some good if you were like massively dehydrated after like a terrible gastro flu. But like people, you'll have the sniffles and someone will be like, did you have a bottle of Lucozade? Because that'll sort you out and give you diabetes in one go. For the love of fuck.
Fuck, I have a frappin' headache. I could boost you and you'd fuck up.
Someone tagged me in a thing there. The guy took a photo of me in a film station yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it says, just met Colin Geddes, GEDDIES, and made him a Subway because the guy worked at Subway.
Weird flex, bro.
Here. No, he didn't. I didn't get the...
Why? You lied about making you a Subway?
Yeah! I bought fucking petrol and, like, left. And he's like, made him a sub, bitch. I better be getting free Subways for life after this shit.
That's such a weird thing to lie about.
I know. Pick a better lie.
Well, just seen Colin Geddes there in Super Value. He had a flat white and left.
Yeah. Well, that sounds more...
Yeah, that's like something you would do.
Yeah. But just why lie about it? Like, you know what I mean? Just in a clothes shop, Colin Geddes came in, bought two thongs and left. Nah. Not really. What's I going to say to you? We've started this thing down here with Maureen's family, the SBD club. Yeah. Squat, bench, deadlifts. Because I was trying to... I've seen so many fucking shitty workouts online that it was just like, let's bring it back to basics here. Let's just Monday, Wednesday, Friday, squat, bench, deadlift. So, you know what? I'll not be in shape after this. But I'm expecting to be very, very bulky.
Yeah.
Just lift it. Like...
See him.
Do you ever watch My 1,000-Pound Sisters or whatever the fuck it's called? Or what's it called? My Big Fat Fucking 1,000-Pound Sister? 1,000-Pound Drop? What's it called?
You're a bit deal or no deal. Is that like one of them weird Channel 4 shows where they just like make a documentary around a fat cunt?
Yeah, the fucking world is falling apart and they're like, do you know what's cool to look at? Fat cunts.
How much money are you getting paid if you're one of them people where it's like, here, you are so grotesque and we're going to make a show all about you and basically record you unable to pick up your car keys? Yeah. Like, what's the kind of money that you're dishing out there?
Enough money to keep you in fucking tubs of Ben and Jerry's, probably. I don't know.
We'll pay you in Monster Munch.
Yeah!
Oh, fuck.
You want to see? I mean, it's fucking... I was talking about this on another podcast. I was like, there's so many freak show videos going about that I've stopped, like, taking them on now. I'm like, People are getting into the realms of like there's someone who has legit fucking mental problems and everyone's like, ha ha ha, ha, that's funny.
Yeah, it's especially when it's like especially when it's local shit and you're like, you know, chances are I'm like 2 degrees away from someone who knows this cunt.
Exactly, yeah. I've experienced that before, and luckily I wasn't really slobbering, but I've played clips and stuff and people are like, oh, that's my uncle. Do you know? Do you remember that clip I played of the guy in Belfast? I don't even know where it was, but they blocked the road off and the guy's like, I can't even get that chippy. I can't even get that fucking... Have you seen that? Yeah. And then he goes, what's all this? I love that clip, but some guy was just like, ah, it's my Uncle Nick or something. You just can't... You can't fucking... You gotta be really careful about who you fucking chat up. But yeah, you see some of those videos recently, like, obviously the place is losing its fucking mind, like, people sending videos from West Belfast and all, and you're like, no thanks.
Yeah.
I'll stay out in the country.
Drop the anchor, no motherfuck. Although I did see some mad video fucking in Dungannon like the other week, but it was like, you know, I dare say there were drug dealings involved at some point, but they set some fella's fucking house just in fire.
Sure, what can you do? Like, I mean, that's the closest, like, you know, mid-sized town to me, but I haven't been in it in a long time. Like.
Yeah.
I would basically only go in it to pick you up from the bus stop.
That's true.
And that's fucking it. But Jesus Christ, I was going to say to you, I haven't even listened to it yet, but that was it, Rob Van Dam podcast?
Uh-huh.
People were loving it.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I've just seen loads of people being like, oh, my. You see, this is where the world of wrestling is a whole other world, because there was grown men being like, go on ahead, McCann. That's it. Fucking right.
Yeah, it was class. It was like, because I'd always loved, like, I was telling you about how I really like Pete Holmes' stuff and fucking Mark Maron's type, like, interview type shows. Uh-huh. And, but I never wanted to, like, kind of really do my own one, because both them guys were, like, had so many connections and entertainment that it was like, yeah, it makes sense for you to do a fucking podcast. Yeah. I was like, I don't really know anybody, like, but I was just like, I guess I'll have a fucking soft kind of try at it. And got him involved, and he was sound as fuck. But he just got, like, very, very, like, every interview I'd watched before that was him. It was, like, real, like, nerdy wrestling fans. Yeah. And they're like, can you tell us some backstage gossip in the 2007 match against John Cena? And they're fucking Watson dust coming out of their noses. And I was like, I wonder if I could just have a nice chat with this man. Do you know what I mean? Like, you would if you met someone at a bar and you split open two packets of Tito crisps and had a pint each. And I do believe I might have done that. At Ayrshire.
I mean, that's the dream, if you can do that in real life someday.
Oh, why?
is bust two packs of Tito open with a wrestler? So if you're saying that that's your, like, soft entry point at talking to famous people, mm-hmm. First of all, he'll be offended at hearing that, but what's the next? Who are you expecting to get on the... I mean, this Zoom carry-on has opened the fucking... Open the doors.
But see, this is the thing. It was actually my friend Peter that got me thinking about it, because he's just like, oh, why? He's like, I'm sending an email to every single person that I've ever wanted to have a coffee with that works in editing. And he's like, you should be doing the same. He's like, everyone's at home now. They fuck all they do. Mm-hmm. You would never dream of asking someone like him to do a Zoom interview in, like, normal life. But because it's like, here, everyone's fucking at home anyway. If you're interested in doing this, and then he could be looking to fucking kill a lot of hours anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's people. Now's the time. Like, I remember I asked you the other day, I was like, isn't it weird that never appeals to me? And I was trying to figure out, I was like, is that something wrong with me? Or, do you know, I'm like.
No, I don't think so. I've definitely been in a rare breed of people where it's like, I know, like, I would have like four people that I like really look up to. And then that's kind of it. Uh-huh. Well, there's a lot of people don't even, they're like, yeah, I couldn't even think off top of who I would cite as that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Because, like, even, like, I have people that I fucking look up to, you know, I'm inspired by and all that shit. But I don't know why it would never appeal to me. Or I wouldn't even think about going, like, oh, I would love to have a chat with them on the internet. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know if it's like, I don't know. I don't feel the need to, or I would feel slightly embarrassed about trying to do it or something. And I know rightly, like, of course there's people who would talk to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I have a fairly big podcast. Even with the new office in Belfast and stuff, it looks so legit that if you were like, come down and do my podcast, you could get anyone in there. Like.
Yeah, I think the issue that I have of it, like, where I am right now, is like, you want to be to where you're pretty certified yourself, and then yeah. You have people come on, because then there's the danger of like, oh, you know, maybe it just looks like you're getting these people in to build your own fan base and they don't give a fuck who you are. So I think it like comes down to you know, that was a really cool experience and all, and I'm really glad it happened. But I think that if I was to go back into that, it would have to be for sure like years from now before I could get away with doing something like that and not make it look like, oh, you know, you're just fucking bringing these people in.
Yeah, because you do see that a bit. Shane's been speaking to a lot of famous people recently, but he already has very established and has a pretty big podcast anyway. There are other people who, I'm not going to say about it, you know, there are podcasts out there where it is just an interview with famous people.
Yeah.
And you don't really see that. They might have a very popular podcast, but if you see them on social media, it doesn't really have that big a crossover for them specifically, because yeah, people are only listening because it's like a fucking world famous person they're chatting to.
Yeah.
No one really gives it. Whereas like, obviously if you build up your own podcast, then you can come on and have like a real conversation with somebody instead of you just fucking firing questions at somebody.
Yeah.
And it's like an interview. But I don't know. There are people, you know, you get like fucking Tom Segura and shit, and it's like he'll bring them onto the podcast and then you're in his world. It's like they're playing new videos and shit like that. It's not like, so what's the deal with stuff, man?
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I think that would be my worry if I was like, oh, I've an office and a studio and all here if you want to come down and record a podcast. And then it's me sitting across from someone who's done quite well for themselves. And I'm just like, watch this video with a dog being sick. The dog's just begly. I swear to God. Of all the shit being released, you know, people are watching all sorts of quality TV comedy specials. Begley sent me a video of a dog. Did he send it to you? Any chance? No. It was a video of a dog, and the caption said, when you accidentally drink sparkling water, and it was just a dog going, and like, I nearly had to get up out of bed and leave the room because Warren was just like looking at me like, what are you doing? And I was pissing myself.
Yeah, I was about to say, that sounds right up your street.
Oh my God. I don't know whether it was the caption or what that fucking sent me over the edge, but I was pissing myself like.
My favorite video so far in lockdown has been, again, another bulk related video of that fella doing the neck nominate challenge.
I've seen so many of those. Like, you mustn't be able to down 3 pints in a row physically. Well, you mustn't.
I beg to differ.
Fucking 3 pints of pink gin and copper sun and he's out of the fucking off to the races. Oh fuck.
Yeah, I think it to me the funniest shit about that video was just the way the guy was like had on a real lad bravado, even though he looked like the nerdiest cunt going.
Yeah.
All right, that's, and then goes to pick it and just immediately starts chundering.
Is that the one where the guy's like, tell me when? Tell me when. And he's so fucking nervous, like, tell us when, tell us when. And just fuck you. His face looked like he knew he was going to vomit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was like, I know where this is going. And he was fucking shaking. Like, go ahead. Tell me. Tell us when.
He was doing a Russian roulette, but there was a fucking bullet in every cartridge.
Just kept going. Oh, for fuck's sake. What a fucking loser. And I've seen an Isle Boy, like, first of all, he was drinking John Smith's, which is like, it's a very, very weak sort of like ale. Like, I feel like if you're going to throw anything up, that's the beer to drink. And because it's about fucking 2.8%, then there's no point. Like, it's like shite Guinness. But it was just a woman filming him, and he's like drinking, and you could see him start to like sway, like it was. Like it was hitting him early, and then he just fucking like, and she just quietly goes, well, you'll have to clean that up. You'll have to clean that up. As if to be like, I fucking told you that this was going to happen. And he's just standing there. They always drink like 3 pints and then vomit up like 12. The ratio's weird.
Yeah, last week's carryout fucking comes up.
And then the chips and the rice and the curry.
Um, Are you still getting no takeaways, by the way?
Yeah, we haven't had anything.
Yeah, fuck.
We've had fuck all.
That's the one part where we're slipping now. I'm just like, if we get fucking corona because of a Domino's, Lord forbid, what a way to go.
That's the least of your worries on a fucking Domino's. Like,
we were going so well and a fucking meteor took us out.
I've been doing a decent bit of cooking, and I got a hob for like outside, and Maureen's parents had cleared this thing out, or Maureen's dad cleared this place out a while ago, and there was like a big industrial, like professional kitchen metal desk thing, like a big stainless steel tabletop. So I'm gonna make like a cooking station outside and maybe film some cooking videos, because every time I put up a photo I get fucking bombarded, like, what is this? Do a cooking show, do a tutorial, do a recipe blog. Imagine
a recipe blog.
Imagine that. Get on over to fatcunt.blogspot.net.
What about these dolls? I have to laugh every other day. There's like someone's putting up like, I don't think I'll go to the Chinese again. And it's like they've made like a fake away. Like a fucking like salt and chili chicken. And you're like, if I was the boyfriend there who's being told like shit's as good as any, isn't it? I'd be like, nope, there's no MSGs in this fucker. Yeah. There's no reason to eat until I hate myself.
Yeah. I've made stuff before and I'm like, why is it just not hitting the mark? And I'm like, because they fucking, like, when you see a proper Chinese thing cooking, chef cooking, it's like they have all these tubs of shit and they just dip the fucking the ladle into it and throw it in the wok.
Yeah.
And people are dumping in like an amount of salt that you wouldn't even fucking like comprehend.
Oh, I full you're bottle like, of Saxa.
Yeah. And you're like, that doesn't taste the same at all. But like, I'm pretty good at Asian food. Like, I've knocked out some shit where you're like, that legit tastes better than your average fucking like chow mein or something you would get.
Yeah.
You know, but not everyone's a fucking Michelin star chef. You know what I'm saying?
Michelin.
But I would fucking eat a tramp's asshole for like a fucking Thai meal from somewhere.
Oh, sir.
Like, I was sitting the other day and I said to Maureen, like, if Bow Tree in the fucking Holy Lands could deliver, I'd pay them $3,000. If they brought it to the house, I'd be like, just take the car with you and give me them fucking satay sticks, motherfucker.
There'll be some hitting done when this is all over, sir.
Yeah, that's the real boom. My gut hitting the fucking steering wheel.
My fucking Jack and Jones belt, Boston.
Yeah. The real bounce back is my titties.
My fucking beanbag gut slouching over my jeans.
Oh, fuck's sake. I need my stomach stapled or something. I don't know what's going on. I swear to God, it's getting disgraceful. Like,
I'm starting to lean in just to the identity of a fat cunt, where I'm like, this is probably it. You know, we can try and do some drastic changes here and there, but at the end of the day, you'll always be a fat cunt.
That's the terrible mindset. I mean, the worst thing is like sitting there going like, man, I need to really do something and get in shape and get fit. And then you're like, and then here's this food and I probably shouldn't eat this, but what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know, then you'd 14 chicken goujons.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's what I mean. There's a lot of real healthy people are half given up as well. You know what I mean? Like, there's a load of people I've seen a lot of people on Instagram, like fighters and stuff, where they're like, listen, I know I should be a role model and I should be using this downtime to really get fit and all. And they're just like, but I couldn't give a fuck at all.
Oh, even our fucking, our man, Tim, with every dance he does, I can see him dying a wee bit inside.
Do you remember I sent you that picture and I was like, is he absolutely looking to never get the ride or what?
Well, that's how you stay a celibate.
You show them your fucking white boy dance moves.
That's how you get. No temptation for puss whenever you're doing the robot, you're living her.
In a fucking onesie or whatever the fuck he's wearing.
And a lot and a lot of gravitate towards you.
Nah. Tim, more of the fucking sweaty six pack photos, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get have you chatted? I'm sure you've had the conversation with him a few times, but like, could he be cleaning up on the post if he really put his mind to it?
110%.
You know, I bet you most of his like online coaching's all women just being like, how do I lose like tit fat?
Oh, he could have a whole separate client list if you get what I mean. You know,
yeah. And he's like, fucking right, a con man. I love how you've dumped them from the podcast now. That's great.
Well, not even. This is the first time I've done a Zoom pod. Obviously, now I did make an exception for our man, Rob Van Dam. But, you know, I was just like, today's the first day I've actually fucking set up with this one fucking lead to try and get decent audio quality into the Zoom.
It'd be fun, like him just resharing it, being like, shout out to my man McCann for talking to one of his childhood heroes. Funny how he can get his fucking Zoom to work and he can't do a fucking podcast with me.
No, we are going to try and set something up now this week because he's ordering that same lead and we'll try and get fucking something going again. But I almost like to kind of like, you know, take a wee break and then come back with a fucking bit of venom in your fucking fist.
Sometimes you need a break when you've done four podcasts, man. You know what I mean?
Sure. My breaking point is 12 episodes and then I go, right, I've earned this.
You're like, all the good series over the years only had 12 episodes. I'll do me.
Season one is done.
I thought the other day about each month, like basically podcasting for only like 2 or 3 weeks of that month and then taking the rest off.
Yeah.
I'd thought about that. I'd thought about like banking like podcasts and then releasing them over like the week or the 2 weeks and then going back to work after 2 weeks off. Just because things kind of just all bleed into one when you're doing like 3 podcasts a week. So I was thinking like I might actually just podcast in a window and do it fairly intensely and then have 2 weeks off and let my mind fucking gather up some thoughts. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Do you find with like solo podcasting? I was thinking this the other day whereby I'm still on a stage where I'm like being like, all right, here we go. Fucking theme song going, recording. And then I'll get in the microphone for 2 minutes and then be like, for fuck's sake, and then stop and record again. But I'm assuming like that's something that goes away as you get used to solo podcasting. Do you feel like you've got like fucking way better at it, or were you just straight out the gates fucking firing?
No, I've definitely done that a couple of times, yeah. But it does go away. Sometimes I've like started a podcast and just out of excitement said something like, you know, like hugely inappropriate
and
like
the N-word.
Yeah, like Mickey, what's up? Like but and I've went, nah, I'll just it would be easier to, it was just a bit of a messy start type thing. But yeah, I always worry, like I always be like, right, I'll try and write some notes down and am I gonna get an R out of this and whatever. And then it always figures itself out. But what I do now is probably way past what you, like you're probably like, oh, I'm very aware of myself, I'm doing this, I feel a bit self-conscious or whatever, and then you end up turning it off and starting again. I do the opposite, where like I just go autopilot and talk a lot of shit and then turn it off and go, well, hopefully I don't get cancelled on that one. and then I can't remember anything I just said the last fucking like hour. And then I forget what the fuck I've said. And then I go on to the next podcast. I'm like, did I already talk about this? So I'm way past that now. I'm just fucking like, turn it on and vomit it out. Like,
yeah. I feel like the canceling thing too is pretty much, after the few podcasts, I've like ventured into a couple of podcasts in the last few days, like recommendations from mates. And like, I'm listening to like, your man out of fucking Legion of Skanks and that podcast Come Town, and I'm like, this is like right wing propaganda, half the shit.
Yeah.
Like, this is fucking murky waters.
Legion of Skanks, it's almost like they're just, it's so bad that you wouldn't know where to start, which kind of protects you. You kind of just have to be like, yeah, they're the guys that say all the really inappropriate shit.
I mean, they did that Skankfest thing, and I was looking at it, and I was like, the fan base that sure enough they attract is essentially extravision workers and boys with sweaty ball pants.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's a lot of fucking chains attached to wallets with our fans. Yeah. A lot of fucking, like, you know, CKY tattoos.
Did they all have, like, one tune that, like... Me fucking 12 as fuck, bro, watching then, people a bomb.
I know, with jeans that go over your entire foot at the bottom.
I used to wear, like, if you're talking about the most embarrassing piece of clothing that you were like, fuck yeah, I look sick as shit in this. I used to wear a tap out t-shirt with a pair of long sleeves. I watched 2 episodes of The Ultimate Fighter and was like, get that in the bag to fuck. And then walked about over like a choked you out in a triangle.
It's the stupidest game or stupidest fucking brand, because it's like the name of the brand is the thing that you do when you give up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like going like, oh, we've this new football brand. It's called Lost 2-0. Conceded a goal. It doesn't make sense. Like,
oh, we have this new golf brand. It's called I'm Shit.
Oh. got this new brand of rugby wear. It's called Date Rapist.
Gate rapist sounds like a thing that would happen in like rural Tyrone. Like, that fucker's out raping that gate again.
Oh, you thought I said gate rapist? Ah, fuck me, I'm sweating.
Ripping the gate.
I've got some questions here I put up on my Patreon just because.
Lovely.
I feel like it weeds out the fucking mayhem.
Do you notice, fair enough, with Patreon questions, the questions are a million times better.
For sure.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And even within the Patreon questions, if someone is a newer patron and, you know, they ask a bit of a sort of generic question, people in the thread will be like, check out this asshole, as if he hasn't answered this a million times.
Yeah.
But we'll do some fucking questions here, and then we'll fucking wrap it up. What podcasts have you been listening to recently?
Those fucking ones I was saying just for the thing of being like, because it is like successful. Like that Gas Digital thing is like its own proper institution. So I was like listening to it, and then I was just like, fuck me. Like when you are so shamelessly like, kind of like, oh, I don't really give a fuck, and like, you know, I've been saying reckless shit from the get-go, you just sort of get away with it.
Yeah. It's whenever people don't like you to, it's like the Cosby thing. They don't like you to pretend that you're a thing that you're not. So it's like, yeah. His whole career was like, I'm this wholesome family guy. And then meanwhile, he's fucking, you know, Rape City. Like, so, whereas that's why people like, you know, like Joey Diaz, for example, like he's so upfront, rough and like grotesque and fucking politically incorrect, that it's endearing. Whereas if it was like someone who's like real clean cut and they get a recording of them calling someone a cocksucker, it would seem distasteful. You know,
I showed my dad that clip of like, you know, that first We Feast where it's like him and Shaw go for tacos.
Yeah.
And Diaz is like telling a story about this fella like wanted to fight him in a Panda Express.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the guy turned his back on him. He's like, the stupid motherfucker turned his back on me. And he's like, I grabbed a fucking tray. It just.
Yeah.
Like, lodged with my dad was sitting pissing himself.
Yeah. Because he's such a wild, he's a wild bastard. Like, still probably the hardest I've ever laughed at a comedian live was when we were at the Comedy Store seeing him. It was like, it was actually such a fucking relief to see someone really, really funny, because the lineup was fairly fucking like, whatever.
It was a relief when the fucker came off stage, because I thought I'd bust a hernia.
Bust a hernia? Like, you already had a bunch, you had a bunch of hernias? I did a bit of a podcast cleanse. Like, recently.
You're not listening to anything?
I went into my iTunes and fucking unsubscribed to a load of fucking, just a load of shite that I don't listen to. A lot of local ones. Got rid of a load of them. Just was like, I really only listened to about two podcasts, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. Like, I listen to Tim Dillon if I can be bothered. You know why some days you're like, it's a bit much?
Sometimes it can fucking weigh you down. Like, I love that guy, but he's so fucking, like, cynical and, like, like doomer type attitude that it actually would fucking depress you half the time.
Yeah, like, the highlights that he puts up are, like, almost enough, because you're like, okay, I get where he's going with this.
Yeah.
But it's him just, like, searching in the dark for those nice I mean, it's fucking genius. I couldn't do it, like, but... I pretty much listen to, like, The Fighter and The Kid, Tim Dillon the odd time. I listen to Rogan if it's, like, if I like the guest a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Everything else I fucking get rid of, pretty much. Is Aaron wearing a neck brace after the head nodding he did with RVD? I mean, yeah,
I discovered from that I am indeed a nodder. But, you know, shows that you're fucking engaged. And
he can't just be talking and you're like this.
Aye. He's like, have you fucking froze?
Very interesting. right, here we go. If you two lads... Oh, fuck's sake, man. If you two lads had to pick teams from the NI Comedy Lads for a massive fight around the back of Castle Court, who would each of you pick? Pick teams from the NI Lads for a massive fight.
So you get one partner each against everyone, or what's the crack?
I don't know what that means, to be honest. If you two lads had to pick teams from the NI Comedy Lads for a massive fight, I don't know.
If we're talking about picking teams, I feel like I would be very smart and shotgun you, because I feel like you're the only one in the whole squad that could, I would dare say, give and receive a dig.
For a second there, I thought about Dave might be helpful, but probably for about 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Unless I just use him as a meat shield and just stand behind him.
That's what we should have called our Ulster Hall show, meat shield, instead of the comedy squad.
Meat shield live. Fucking hell.
Everyone else is fairly, I mean, if Mickey gets nunchucks, you're fucked. But I feel like without all his Karate Kid weaponry, just a swift dig to the bacon and he's done.
Yeah, I don't know, have you seen the man do press ups? I'd say to his face, and I've said on this podcast many times, the person that I see online makes me hate him. Do you know what I mean? Like, he put up a photo of his arm and be like, man, look how good my arm looks in this bathroom light. And you're like, it still looks shit. You know what I mean? It looked shit. Now it looks shit, only it's brighter.
Shape but bright.
Yeah. It's like the Adele thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you were a chubby six and now you're a skinny six.
Yeah.
And that is your value as a human. You can sing all day, but who cares?
I said, I was like, the way she fucked up was she had an achievement during lockdown.
Yeah.
This is not the time to be bettering yourself as a person and sharing it with the world. People are too bitter right now.
It's going to get, I mean, Is it gonna get, you know, the way everything's like, oh, you're skinny shaming people, you're fat shaming people, you're able shaming people, you're like wealth shaming people. It's gonna be like, if you put up a fucking photo on Instagram, people are like, are you tech shaming someone because you have the ability to take a good photo with a camera?
Yeah.
Or, you're like, what can I fucking do? Can I just sit still and not move in case anyone gets fucking offended?
You fucking propose to your girlfriend, she puts up a picture of the ring and they're like, are you single shaming people?
Yeah.
You bastards.
Yeah. By fucking declaring your love. Or whatever.
Declaring your love with a good old Facebook status.
No. Unbelievable. Who would I pick in a fight? I don't know. I think I would take my chances of just going solo. Fucking yes, lads. Just ask my girlfriend on the spot a question to ask you guys. How many times a day does young McCann have to have a word with himself?
I think euphemism for wanking?
I don't know. I think lockdown is affecting her in strange ways. P.S. The BBC documentary about Hyde Bank. What was your favourite bit? Nolan, you fat cunt! I don't know. Have a word with yourself? Is that a term you use on your own podcast a lot?
I don't think so. Maybe she thinks I'm depleting and fucking mental sanity. I don't know.
Take a look at yourself. You should take a look at yourself every day. Have you watched Crash It? Did you watch that Hyde Bank show?
I saw it. I got sent like clips of it and played a couple of clips in the podcast and then watched one episode.
Once again, it's like on the surface, someone could send you a clip and be like, oh, that's funny. And then the more you read into it, you're like, okay, you know, it's like someone's in there because they were abused when they were a kid and then they did something like against the law and now they're in here and everything's a fucking shit show. And you're like, well, not so funny anymore. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you see some guy and it's like, oh, he's doing well and he's got himself a wee job. He plants flowers in the prison and, you know, he's getting his life back together. And you're like, good for him. And you're like, oh, I stabbed his granny to death. And you're like, maybe should be. Maybe that's not a bad place for him, to be honest with you.
My favorite one was the clip I got sent in. The two of them was, the one was, he was like, do you play any like pranks on each other or something? And the guy was like, mind the time you smoked your own pubes? Something. And then the other one is the fella has like taken little bits of pieces of different newspapers of page 3 and then made himself his own personal wank bank.
His wank bank, yeah. Yeah. I love that they have like routine, you know, wanking times where they're like, oh, I see it fucking 10:30 when the previews come on, the fucking prison goes silent. He's like, everyone's just fucking blasting one out.
Here, routine wanking time is not to be snuffed at.
Literally.
I my next one have 3 here.
Am I keeping you back? Bitches. On Zoom, just nodding.
Oh, fuck.
Unbelievable. Let me see. Well, boys, keep up the good work. Is there or was there an upcoming comedian that you liked and would have given support slot to at one of your gigs? Is there or was there an up-and-coming comedian that you liked and would have given us a... Oh, yeah. Loads of them.
Would have, as in, now you're like, fuck them.
Yeah, I would have. And then I found out, you know, their religious background. I was like, fuck that. Well, of course, like, everyone, you've done it for me. Geordie did it, fucking Mark McCartney.
Yep.
Whatever, just kind of fucking whoever can do the job and, you know, is funny.
Okay. I actually had McCartney down to the Ulster Hall before that got rescheduled 6 times.
Mm. You're going to have fucking 8 support slots at that because everyone's going to be like, I'll do anything for a gig.
Jim Owen's doing 5.
Have you seen any of his gag a day things?
Fucking tremendous.
It's great. He's such a silly fucker. Like, it's brilliant.
He's so funny.
I near fucking died when I seen him at the Fringe. And he told this joke. It's probably like an old, you know, like just pub joke. But he's like, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, they're thinking about spicing things up in the bedroom. And the husband's like, I'm going to get myself some flavored condoms. And they get into bed and it's like, I've got a wee game we'll play. I'll turn the light off, put one of these on, and you taste it and see what flavor the condom is. And she's like, no problem. And he turns the light off and she goes, I think that one's cheese and onion. And he goes, I haven't got one on yet. And now, that was in the middle of a set and it was so stupid. It was so stupid. And I fucking just like, of all the shit that you see at the Fringe, like, and I was just like, that's just lovely.
Tremendous.
Next question. What would you both say the most challenging part of working for yourselves is? Personally, I find the constant obligation to find work and earn enough money each month emotionally draining. But that's just me. Also, fuck answering to anyone else. I would never go back. Huh? Oh, right, okay.
Self-employed, correct?
Oh, right, okay. It depends what you're doing, like, you know what I mean? It depends. I mean, realistically, in comedy or live performance or whatever, the steps are quite clear compared to other things. You know, it's like, it's basically like, do a good job, try and get better every year, try and do as many gigs in as many places as you can, and try and grow your audience, whether it's online or in person or both. And eventually it'll build up to a point where you can kind of do it yourself. I don't know what it's like in other businesses. Like, I've never ran another business.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what if you're trying to build up business as a fucking painter, decorator or something? I don't know how to do that.
I think the issue with self-employed is like, it allows you more to get inside your own head a bit too much, where you're like really far thinking and you're like, fuck, I'll still be getting things in this way, or, you know, looking at Patreon even, and you're like, fuck, will that still be there by this time? Or,
yeah.
But I think if you're actually being present, everything's pretty fucking grand. Like, as you say, it's a linear enough process.
Yeah. It just depends. Like, I know people in, like, you can be like doing very specific work. But you can charge a lot of money because not a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
Do you know, I've paid for things to be like sound mixed or something, and that you get the invoice back and you're like, is that how much that costs? And on their side, they're like, well, who the fuck else is going to do it for you?
Yeah.
We're the only person in Northern Ireland does this thing, or something like that. So I don't know. But yeah, trying to drum up work for yourself is annoying as fuck. Yeah. Let me see. Is procrastination part of the creative process? Do you feel annoyed when you're not creating? I know I do. How do you get past a creative block? Not from Gemma.
Next question.
Well, you just have to fucking... I would say if it's like material, I think I was at the point there where it just kind of happens in the background naturally. And you make a few notes and then you try a few bits and that turns into 5 minutes. And then you do that a few weeks in a row and, you know, you've got like 15-minute chunk or something.
Yeah.
But a lot of times with creative block, it's like you just got to fucking go do it. Go do it the way you would go to work and to do any other job.
Yeah, I was reading that fucking Stephen King on writing. And he was talking about one of the things that he would do is do everything in 25-minute chunks.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds like a sort of like such a no bullshit type thing. But when you actually do it then and you give yourself 25 minutes to work at something and then fuck off for whatever amount of time and then add another 25 before you know it, you've done like 2 hours of shit in the one day. So I always try and do it in chunks.
Yeah, like sitting down and going like, am I going to work from 9 to 5 here is a bit stressful. It seems like a lot. Let me see. There's so many fun questions here. I assume the comedy festival you were planning this year is down the drain. Yes. It's down the drain. Can you tell us any ideas you had for it? No. Do you both remember where you first murdered on stage and how it felt?
First fuck, I don't know. I remember my first fucking absolute death.
Right.
Was doing support for Paddy Gilday in the Stuart Arts Centre. And I was like, this is it. I've won the game. I'll go out of here now, destroy. And then that's me done then for life.
Yeah, hometown.
And I went out and oh my God, it was just a yo sushi buffet of cock. And I was hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting, and I was doing Beyonce jokes, and the average age there was 75 plus, and I was doing Tinder jokes, and no one there had moved on from dial-up yet, and I just remember eating so much shit. I feel like you remember deaths more than you do murdering sessions, unless the murdering's like pretty recent.
Yeah,
that you've done.
Fuck. The only like murders I would remember doing well at are like things where there was a lot of pressure on it and you were worried about it, and then it went really well and you were like,
yeah,
fucking yes. Fuck, I don't know. First time, I don't know. The thing is, though, a lot of those early gigs, you don't really know what killing is, so you feel like you're killing because you're just you're getting some laughs.
You look back at the same footage and you're like, ah, fuck me. Like, see my first Stirl show? I can't watch it.
No, I'm sure.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen done ever. It's like that Nick Cannon special.
You were blacked out. I can't even watch the... I haven't even watched the fucking SSE footage. I just trusted Aaron Butler when he said the second show was better. And I went, all right.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any of them. I'm trying to pick out the quick questions here. Do you find your personalities at odds with the type of material you release? Do you feel people have certain expectations of you when they used to see you out in public? Or is it a case of we see what we get in real life?
Damn, bro, you get good fucking deep questions.
Yeah. It's changed a lot for me. Like, it used to be like if someone was like, oh, fuck, I'll buy a blender, they would assume I was a fucking mad cunt and tell me, like, people just launch into these stories about a time they fucking basically date raped someone, and you're like, I don't need to hear this at all.
Yeah.
But I think because people are into like the podcast and stuff, and they'll hear me talk about weird encounters with people, then they get scared to say anything to me. You know, they think like, oh, he's not grumpy, fucking weird cunt. I'll just not speak to him.
Yeah.
But I would say what you see, pretty much what you see is what you get now. Like,
well, yeah, that's the thing with your podcast is like people then, like the blender people obviously don't have a fucking notion. So they wouldn't know how to act up if they seen you. But I feel like people that listen to your podcast have a very good idea of who you are as a person.
Yeah. And it's funny, like I was reading comments on a YouTube video this morning on one of mine, and the person, it sounded like the person was really old, because it was like, I must say, you're a very, very mean-spirited person, and I'm just gonna pop your ego right now and tell you that you're not funny. You know, and then more or less the same comment in another video was like, very, very mean-spirited.
Fuck's sake, my dad's coming leaps and bounds with the computer these days.
I know. Is your dad like Takeshi 6ix9ine with the fucking, with the drawn on watch? If you ain't got one of these watches, man, you can't talk to me, man.
Takeshi BT9.
You're like, he's actually 79. If you ain't got one of these watches. And it's just a fucking, it's just a wee fucking drawn on watch. Let me see. Who has Declan McCallion? Who has better taste in trainers or clothes? You or Aaron? Top five brands you both like to wear. What do you think of the cult brand Supreme Palace and the instant sellout and resale for extra cash?
Love them, but people have kind of fucked them up a wee bit.
Yeah, I suppose. There's a lot of this. I don't know. Like I do like things to be a wee bit understated. You know, like I'm not gonna spend fucking. Also, I want visually to see that I've spent money on a thing.
Yeah,
I don't want to buy a hoodie that says like Supreme that size and it cost me fucking £200.
Yeah,
or whatever the fuck they cost. I'm not that bothered. I don't give a fuck. I'll wear like, you know, I'll spend money on a pair of shoes, and then if I scoop a pair of TK Maxx for £25, I'm happy with that too.
It's the man that flexes it.
It's not the watch that you wear. It's the man that's flexing the watch that you wear.
It's not the goodies you slap on. You slap the goodies.
You would be, I think you would be a lot more tempted to be like, oh, such and such dropping this and I'm going to get it. Like you've sent me some shoes and you've been like, oh, here's the new Lafleurs. And I'm like, they look fucking terrible. And I only know... I only know that you want them because fucking Tyler the Creator wears them. Whereas I would be a bit more like, oh no, everyone's queuing up for these. I don't want those.
Yeah.
You know, like a wee bit of a fucking hipster vibe to it. But I don't know. I'm not a snob. Like if it's nice, it's nice. I'll wear anything. Like New Balance is my big thing at the minute. Like I have a fucking major problem.
Tell you what, see that that local brand? Is it Outside In?
Yeah.
I was on their website the other day and I was like, this is some legit shit, bro.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Very nice clothing.
They've had stuff like, do you remember the Dead On Mafia caps that I have with the pink logo on it?
Yes.
They've had stuff that I know is the same product with just their branding on it.
Yeah.
Same stuff as I've had in the past. But yeah, they're doing well. They've tied it in with the fucking charity thing and everything. But yeah, the stuff does look good. Look. For fuck, I play them. I have to get a whole pile of merch online one of these fucking days. Let's move on. You definitely know more about streetwear and shit than I do, though.
But that's the thing. I think it might be because I couldn't be fucked with the hassle of going online and like getting up at 6 a.m. to get a pair of trainers and stuff like that. But if I lived somewhere where there was maybe like a flagship shop, I would, like even when I lived in LA, I was definitely buying more of that shit. And even like you go to London and you're like, oh fuck, I'll call in here, see the crack. Yeah. And you end up spending about £70.
70?
No, why?
Yeah, I don't understand the whole fucking, like how, you know, people are like, oh, these are limited edition fucking Air Max, whatever the fuck. If they look like the other ones that are £100, why would you spend fucking £1,500 on them?
Yeah.
I don't, like, if Nike did a fucking collaboration with me, then it'll be like, I'll buy those. But I'm not buying, I'm not being like, oh, I'm going to spend a pile of money on these fucking shitty shoes that I'll be scared to wear. Fuck that. And some people are hoodwinked a wee bit. They're like, these are limited edition. And then they're walking around with a pair of fucking, like, you know, fucking terrible looking shoes. But they're like, but there's only 100 pairs of these. And you're like, I wonder why. They look fucking cake. I don't know. Right, well, let me see if there's any more questions. Yes, fella. Is McCann still bucking away at Hallions or strictly observing social distancing etiquette? You know what McCann's like?
I don't know where you've got that info from, but you've been misled.
Yeah. He's never done riding that boy.
What do you think is going to be the crack? You know that everyone's like, oh, after lockdown, people be riding in the fucking streets and everything. Like, do you think it's going to be, listen, you're an ugly cunt before lockdown. You know, people aren't going to be that desperate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And, you know, you'll have to fucking hand sanitize your cock.
I just want a peaceful life, sir. That's all I'm after.
Kenny Nixon, does McCann take any precautions when riding a lassie? Does he use a sling to support his head from an anchor point on the roof?
Yeah, I feel like you got a bit too tactical with that joke, but...
All the engineers are pissing themselves. Could Aaron ever rock any of the General Banter headgear? No.
Not a chance.
I have said to you before, I have one hat, which is a Carhartt Nike collaboration hat. And it's massive. Like, it's fucking... It's too big for me. Like, it sits away up and it's huge. It'd be worth seeing if it fitted on your head, like.
I would be honestly shocked if it did.
And then you can bat off me for 80 quid. How does comedy function? Who is your favorite comedian and what makes him... And what... I don't know. How does comedy function?
Comedy, how does it function?
We don't even have enough time left to talk about that shit. Tim Gallagher, I'm so dry. Why would he write that? Is he a bit jelly? Is this because you dragged him along? You were like, I don't want to do a podcast by myself. Tim, you can hold my hand. And then you fucked him to the wayside.
Holy fuck, Jesus, I've heard enough.
Do an old Zoom podcast with him, for fuck's sake. Do you think she and Todd could drop an old anchor in a poo bay? Personally, I think the gayness is hanging out of him.
To say that anything is hanging out of somebody, that's the fucking funny bone tickle for me there.
But like, you know, what gave it away? The fact that he just nonstop talks about fucking being gay. I mean, yeah, he's him and Dave are big fans of homoerotic behavior, which is funny. Hanging out of him, like fucking gays hanging out of him. His name's David. I've only one question left. I've skipped a few guys, but you know what I mean. Time's money. Mark Downey, kudos for the SSE shows. I went to the first night. Superb. Is right. Out of 10, how gutted was McCann when you decided not to have support acts? Obviously, you probably didn't give a shit. Mickey seemed pissed off.
I was just happy to be there on the fucking drink.
Exactly. It's amazing how quickly the first one was a celebration and the second one was just work.
Also, I can tell you one thing. I would not have even, you know, at the time, you're sitting there and you're like, here, I don't know if these people would fucking take to a support act at all. For an arena show, like,
well, that genuinely was like one of my thoughts on the run up to it. Was just like, you know, when they give you the stage times and the entry times and everything, I was like, would it be good for the person even opening? Is it worthwhile sending somebody out there, you know, to like a half empty arena with people filtering in? And it'd be a fucking horrible experience. There's a fucking good chance that could happen. Like, I remember seeing Bill Burr in Dublin and Danny O'Brien was opening and he did very well, but like the place was just filling up with people. It was like, it was just like unnecessary for, you know, good opportunity for him and he did do well, but it's just like, if you had just got your seat and waited 5 minutes and then Bill Burr come on, you'd be happy enough.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought, like, with the times that they give you and there's a bit of a curfew and everything, I was just like, I'm sure I could squeeze out two fucking 40 minutes here. And sure enough, it was actually, it was like a 45 and a 50, just because you have to slow it away down. But like, Yeah, I think if anyone's doing big shows like that, you just do it yourself. Like,
yeah,
there's no point in having a support. You sort of, you think you want one. The support is just your mates being there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think if there's that many people coming out just to see you, they're ready for it. Like,
I think an arena show is like, it's one of the times where the purpose of a support act isn't even there.
No. No, there's no point in anybody going out cold. I mean, music does the job of like a war, you know, getting you in the fucking mood and like getting a few drinks in and whatever. So, yeah, I've already booked dates for next year, so I'm getting the artwork made up.
Nice.
So we'll get that released soon enough. It's pretty far away, but like, I didn't want to just take advantage of maybe people's want to go out straight after this fucking lockdown.
Yeah.
And me having not done stand up in so long and have no new material.
I know, man. That's why with the September reschedule for Ulster Hall, I was like, this can't be the one. Like, imagine coming out. Say even everything was like back to normal by August, it would be fucking abysmal. It would be the worst version of that show I'd done.
Did it move? Did you move the date again? Or can't?
Yeah, I got them to move it to June.
Next year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like, cancel this whole year to fuck. And then I seen Brockhampton. I was supposed to go see them the month before, and they'd rescheduled the next year. And I was like, well, it's good enough for them. Follow suit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think, I mean, obviously, like, we could do a bunch of fucking, you know, compilation nights or like live podcasts or something. But I think to get people to pay good money to come out and see you do a full show, there'd be nothing there yet.
Nah.
You know, and like, it's going to be hard to fucking dodge just doing 40 minutes of Corona material. I mean, how
do that's annoying too. It's like, you don't want to do it too, because it's like that other show's ready to go. Like, I did it in Edinburgh, and now it's like, I don't want to have to do that whole hour and then just like be like, oh yeah, nothing mad happened in the last year, did it?
Yeah, you're just talking about fucking a load of bullshit that happened like fucking 2 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, me and my girlfriend broke up.
Yeah. Talk about Corona. Yeah, I don't fucking know. It's hard to know what's going to happen at the minute. But I'm thoroughly enjoying just getting laid into the podcast, because it needed a bit of fucking like condensed attention.
Yeah.
And now it's got
that. Get that ding, brother.
Get that ding. I never laughed as hard in my life when you were like, listen, you can tell me nothing, sir. Oh. Can't tell me nothing.
I had a dream I could buy my way to heaven. When I woke up, I spent it on a citron.
102 dang on the Patreon.
Yeah, because it was like, you would tell me about like, when you were in hospital in the morning, I was chatting to some nurse, and she was like, you know, traveled around the fucking globe and stuff, and had her own gaff and was going with us fella for X amount of time. And she's like, what are you just on? And I was like, yeah, tell them when to check the Patreon. The fucking numbers, don't lie.
Yeah, people talk about fuck you money. You've got thank you for lending me the rest of the money.
I have, Jesus, I'm well grateful for that, honest to God, you shouldn't have money.
You've got fuck you money. I've got, thanks very much. I've got lunch money.
Dairy Lee, lunchable money.
Fucking dunkables up in this hoe. You got fuck you money. I've got cheers for letting me in anyway money. You got fuck you money, and I got thanks for the lift money.
You got fuck you money, and I've got my boss comes in and eight pass.
Oh, Jesus Christ, the night.
Right? Just, sir, I'm sweating now.
I know.
My legs is fucking gushing.
I know. We'll wrap this bit up. And,
you went to say bitch and then went out of it.
No.
We're wrapping this bit up.
Yeah, we'll wrap this bitch up. If you wanna listen to any podcasts, I suggest you check out Aaron's podcast with his ex friend Tim Gallagher. It's called Dirt Civil. There's nothing in that cup.
I just wanted someone to not look at you.
Right, we're wrapping the podcast up. Cheers for listening. You don't have to hang up, Aaron. I'll speak to you for another 5 minutes. Cheers for being my guest today.
No bar, sir.
Get yourself a neon light, or else you ain't shit.